In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Before church last Sunday, I drove to Beverly to pick somebody up for liturgy. And my drive, it took me to up into the North Shore, a little bit further north, and along one of our beaches. In the morning last Sunday, it was on the warm side, but it was absolutely spectacular. There were gorgeous blue skies, a gentle breeze. The ocean was really beautiful. And, of course, there were people everywhere. Some were out for a morning walk, coffee in one hand, dog leash in the other. Some of the people who were out for a jog or a bike ride. There were many families getting ready for a nice day at the beach. There was a lot of peace and beauty there on the Lord's Day. And then a thought popped into my head. I'll be honest. I realized that I was looking at something that I will never have. All those people at rest on a Sunday morning, enjoying the beach, allowing the beauty of a late summer Sunday to restore them and to get them ready for another week at work or at school or at home. But I couldn't have it, right? I felt like a small boy sort of staring through a store window, looking at some impossibly expensive train set, right? Knowing that it will never be mine, but wondering what it must be like to play with it. I felt a little twinge of envy. And I said to myself, I don't think I said it out loud. I could have. Sometimes I talk to myself in the car. But I said to myself, I want this too. I want this too. Why can't Sundays be like this for me? And I had the urge to park the car and to get out and to take a walk. I wanted to enjoy my Sunday morning just like these people. I wanted to get out and join them. Perhaps it was the cassock that I was wearing that stopped me, but I didn't. I kept driving, and then a second thought popped into my head. Looking at all those people having a perfect Sunday morning, I mean, you could not have ordered a better day. Nearly all of them, I would bet. Nearly all of them have no experience of going to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe if you are in your 50s or older, you at least have the experience of going to church as a child. You might not go anymore, but at least as a child you had that experience. Most people under 40 these days, not everybody, but most people under 40 who don't otherwise go to church on Sunday, most people under 40, they have no history at all, no history at all with the Christian faith. It's not that they went as a child and stopped for whatever reason. They never went to church in the first place. No one ever took them, and no one ever took their friends. And so back to this second thought. It was a bit of a sad thought. I thought to myself, of course all these people are walking on the beach this morning. Where else would they be? Where else would they be? To them, this is the best thing in the world, the best thing they can imagine. And most of them have no clue that perhaps God might offer them something more. It's not their fault. And they would probably gladly share the day with us here at St. Nicholas if someone simply told them about us. Somebody simply shared a bit of what's important to them. Maybe someday when we all meet our Lord together, these blissful beach people will turn to us church people and say, if we only knew, if we only knew. Why didn't you church people tell us beach people about your Sunday mornings? Why did you keep this fantastic news all to yourself? And so I realized something in a way that I hadn't before. These people are here on the beach this morning, you big knucklehead, because you're failing them. You're failing them. And so I kept driving, but I've carried some of that sadness in my heart this week. I don't know all of those people. I probably don't know any of them, but I miss them. I miss them a lot. And I want them to be here with us. I want them to know what we know about God and about his deep love for the world. We assume they are not here because they don't want to be here. What if we're wrong? What if we're wrong? What if they are not here because we have kept something from them, something they hunger for? There was a time very early on in Jesus' ministry during which many of his very first followers began to have second thoughts. In the Gospel of John, in the 6th chapter, so fairly early on in his ministry, we are told that the teachings of Christ were way too hard for most of them. In particular, they misunderstand what Jesus is saying, but many of them walk away. Most of them walk away. But then there's this beautiful scene where Jesus turns to his 12 apostles, to his best friends, and he asks them, "And how about you? Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answers him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Lord, to whom shall we go? The apostles got it. Nothing else mattered at the same level. Everything else was secondary. Is it a good day or a bad day? A good year or a bad year? Doesn't matter. To whom else shall we go? Is there peace or is there war in our midst or in our homeland? Either way, only Christ has the words of life. Is it a nice day at the beach? Is the stock market up or down? Who's president? It doesn't matter. Not on that level. To whom else shall we go? What are we going to do with all of these refugees? Why do people fly planes into buildings? Why do people choose hatred over love? Am I healthy or am I sick? Is my family healthy or are they sick? The apostles got it. In a world full of chaos and change and madness, Jesus Christ is the one fixed point. His words and his divine presence among us is the very source of life. Source of life. To whom shall we go? It's a rhetorical question. What Simon Peter really means is, Lord, we're not going anywhere. We don't want something better. We want life. And if it's life we desire, you're the only game in town. Brothers and sisters, our Lord has given us something to share. He has given us something that the world will never understand unless we take that message to them, unless we share with them the truth about who Jesus is, not the truth as the world thinks about Jesus. But in many cases, forgive me, my dear brothers and sisters, in many cases, we as Christians, we ourselves have forgotten the truth about who Jesus Christ is. If Jesus were to turn to you and to me this day and ask that same question, the one that he asked his 12 apostles, what would we say? He turned to us and he said, "And what about you? Do you also wish to leave?" How would we answer? Why do we stay with Christ? Would we answer as Peter did? Would we say, "That's kind of a crazy question, Lord. To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Or would we say something else if we're really honest with ourselves? "Lord, to whom else shall we go? I was raised this way. My parents always took me to church. I wouldn't know what else to do on a Sunday morning. To whom else shall we go? Well, this is the place that makes me feel comfortable. This is where my friends are. This is the place that charges my batteries so that I can face another week at work or at home or at school. This is my beach." Or, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? I want to be a better person. And this place keeps me honest, and it keeps me more tolerable to those around me." All of these things might be true. Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong, really, with any of them. except that they miss the point about who Jesus is. Peter said to Jesus, "There is no other place for us to go because you have those words of eternal life." That is the message that we forget. That is the message that we have allowed the world to forget in many cases. That's how church people become beach people. A friend of mine, Father John Parker of Charleston, South Carolina, he nailed this week with great eloquence in an article that he wrote for our OCA's website. Father John writes that so many no longer know the truth about God. God did not come to make bad men better. That's what we normally think. That's what the world normally thinks. God did not come to make bad men better. God came to make dead men live. That's the truth about Christ. Jesus Christ did not live among us so that we would sort of straighten up and be better about keeping the rules. Faith is not an exercise in building moral character. The church is not here to scare us into better behavior. On this Sunday, the Sunday before the Feast of the Holy Cross, the church reminds us of all of that. It reminds us of the basics of our faith. Scripture this morning does not say that God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whoever believes in him will become a better person or stop swearing or stop cheating on their taxes. The church is here not for us to keep a code. It's about finding life in Christ where that life did not exist before, right here and right now. And someday we pray to the ages of ages. God did not come to make bad men better. He came to make dead men live. Christ has these words of eternal life. And it is life, life in the Holy Spirit, which God offers. When we enter these doors, when we enter these doors on Sunday morning or any day, it is life in the kingdom which God throws into our arms. God gives us the invitation to shake off what is dead, to shake off what leads away from divine fellowship. The words from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians this morning are also all about life, all about life, given to those who otherwise have lost life. And it is God through his Son who wants to return what we've lost. He's not hoping that we'll find it. He's there to give it back to us. Brothers and sisters, may we never forget that this Sunday and every Sunday is a little Pascha, every single one of them. Every single Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection, no less than Pascha itself. It's not a celebration of God's victory over mean people and bad habits. We gather together this day to receive life from the source of life, the one who chose to die for us rather than to stop loving us. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May we accept what our Savior offers to us this day. May we accept life, his life. And then let's go to the beach. Let's make some new friends and freely give to them what we have freely received. Amen.